Doula Dispensary, the podcast prescribing a weekly dose of all things doula. The dilemmas discussed are made-up scenarios, and any resemblance to actual persons or events are purely coincidental. Please welcome your hosts, Siobhan and myself, Kiki. Siobhan.
Hello, Kiki.
And happy Paddy Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to all our listeners.
And I know that it's not St. Patrick's Day today you're listening, but it is today when we're recording this.
And it's episode
30.
Episode
30.
And guess what? We're still alive.
Yay. And we're not coughing. Not sneezing. But things have really gone from bad to worse.
Yes.
But before we get into that, what did you do last week?
What did I do last week? Oh, God, last week I had three babies. Did I have three?
Wow.
Did
you really? One, you look well two, for yes. having had three.
Three babies.
Three baby support, doula support.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So Excellent. It was a busy week.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yes, it was a busy week. So that spread over seven... Was it over 7 or 8 days? Yeah, three babies.
And
so,
during those births, you were allowed to support your clients in hospital?
In hospital, yes. Mm-hmm. The last birth, which was on Friday, I believe the day after that, a doula was turned away.
Okay.
But I was allowed in.
On the Friday the 13th?
On the Friday the 13th. I did get in.
Okay.
But I believe a doula was turned away the next day.
That in the middle of the night.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, it's not good.
This show, I guess, will mostly be dominated by talk of...
the coronavirus.
Yes.
Exactly. Because I was just so lucky to finish my course last week in London, the doula course.
Yeah.
Because I think things will be looking very different this week if I was to have a course and what I would have to do about it.
Yes, this is the thing. So I think that's probably what we will cover a lot of in the show today.
Definitely.
Is how that leaves us as doulas.
Yeah.
Where does it leave our clients?
Absolutely.
And what can we do to try and open communication with the healthcare professionals?
Yeah. I think that will pretty much be all we do today.
Yeah, so we might as well crack on with the show.
Let's do it. Ba-da-ba-da-bow. Doula da. Did you just leave me hanging
there? I thought you were going to say, and now it's time for...
Oh, okay. And now it's time for... Doula Dilemmas! So, obviously, this Doula Dilemma today will be just...
About?
Basically, about coronavirus.
Surprise, surprise.
So, I will... The question I will read out, the dilemma is, where do our clients stand when it comes to not being allowed or being allowed whoever they want to have with them at birth?
Yeah.
So what are the legal implications? Because that's all we really can look at, really.
Yeah.
I just want to make it clear, or we want to make it clear, that, of course, this is not about the doulas and what we should have the right to do.
No, it's not about our rights, it's about the women we support and their rights in birth.
So let's be very clear why we feel so passionate about all this. It's because often, or all the time, women's wishes are denied, or birth happens in a way that they didn't feel involved in. You know, often women feel not heard. Mm-hmm. They are not allowed to do this and not allowed to do this. This, that. That's the kind of belief. Mm-hmm. And here's another thing, all of a sudden... a woman that's booked a doula is not allowed to bring the doula to hospital.
Yeah.
So let's have a look. I like this website, which you should all be looking at right now, Birthrights. So birthrights.org.uk. Birthrights are the only organisation in the UK who deals with human rights and childbirth.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. They're brilliant for support. They've really stepped up. All the time they step up to support doulas and parents and women and birthing people that have felt mistreated in the system. And they also run a lot of training courses for NHS trusts. So who don't even know that there's human rights in the birthing world. So firstly, there is a law. It's the Article 8 of the European Convention of Human Rights, which clearly states you have a right to certain things in your personal life.
Yeah.
One of those things is to having who you want and also decide on who you do not want to be with you when you have your baby.
Mm-hmm.
And this means that potentially any laws that come into, or I shouldn't say laws, but any decisions made at NHS Trust to ban or limit birth support could potentially be against this article number
they
8.
They could potentially have legal action
exactly.
against them.
That's it. So let's have a look at what birth rights have posted.
Yeah.
Do you want to read this, Siobhan?
No. You
okay,
read it.
Thank
I
you.
Can't see it from
so
here.
It says, will I still be able... So it's a Q&A that they've written for about the coronavirus and how it's going to affect women and birthing people when they have their babies. And one of the questions is, will I still be able to have my birth partners with me? And this is the latest. This is from the 12th. So it's, I guess it's a few days out of date, but still it's valid, because what it says is the RCOG, which is the Royal College of Gynecologists and Obstetricians, advise that you will still be able to have your birth partners with you throughout, but visitors should be kept to a minimum. Trusts that restrict a woman's right to choose who will be present at her birth, for example, by restricting birth partners to one, will need to be very clear that this response is proportionate to the additional threat of infection. The case of birth partners should be looked at separately to other visitors, given their supporting role. If the trust feels confident its response is proportionate, it should look at exceptions on a case-by-case basis, as a blanket policy could be open to challenge. So I think that's quite clear in terms of what it's saying.
Absolutely.
But also, it's been clarified here by Maria Booker, who's part of the birth rights team, when someone is saying, what does that mean exactly?
What does it mean to challenge?
Exactly. And what do the trusts need to do in terms of having make sure they're proportionate, the measures they're taken? And she said, so basically the policy, if they put this blanket policy in place, is open to legal challenge, because there's three tests which they must meet when they're restricting birthing partners, and that is, it must be lawful, it must have a legitimate aim, and be necessary, i.e. proportionate. So this is what the trust, if they implement these blanket rules, they have to consider that we could contact the trust or the birthing person or the women or the couples that are expecting the baby can contact the trust to say, look, can you explain? Have you taken all these precautions before you put this blanket trust in place? Because according to Article 8, I have the right to bring whoever I want to support me at birth.
Yeah.
So I hope that makes it a bit clearer.
Yeah.
For everyone. What do you think, Siobhan?
Yeah, I think it is very stressful,
mm-hmm.
asking, you know, a pregnant person to contact the head of midwifery and start quoting Article 8 from the Human Rights
yes.
Act. You know, that's a stress that they don't need.
No.
So this is where I feel that the reps for areas should be
mm-hmm.
doing this, because yeah. this is part of their role, is communicating with their local trusts.
Yeah.
Also, listen, at the end of the day, it is unprecedented at the moment. You know, the NHS is on its knees on the best of days.
Exactly.
Let alone with this going on.
Yeah.
What we don't want is 100 different letters all saying the same thing
no.
from 100 different doulas being sent to one person. We need one person to take charge
yeah.
per area or mm-hmm. per trust
yeah.
and send a letter mm. stating why we feel they should be viewing us as part of the birth team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the reps come in.
Yeah, because what needs to happen is actually that the trust will need to show that it's looked at the risks of having an extra birth partner and then considered whether it's a proportionate response to ban one of them. Like, what is the risk of to the woman? Is it more of a risk than benefits?
Yeah.
So basically, having a doula and the benefits of a doula compared to the risk catching the coronavirus.
I think the trusts are also looking at protecting their staff.
Of course.
Which is completely understandable. Mm-hmm. However, as far as I know, they aren't paying for all the staff to get private cars into work. They are all still travelling on London Transport or whatever transport.
Yeah.
They are travelling on public transport to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
So they are open to the virus anyway.
Yes.
But also what they have to realise is even if a doula isn't allowed to go in and support that client, they've already been at the house mm-hmm. with them, supporting them in early labour. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they have been exposed to the doula.
Yeah.
So if there is a virus, mm-hmm. they're carrying it in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It actually isn't making any difference.
No.
Doulas are not randomly walking around wards or into bays.
No.
They're staying in one room with their clients.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing to consider is that how many births are supported by a doula?
Exactly. We are talking a minimal amount of people who are using doulas.
Yeah.
So I think just that, you know, each trust just needs to kind of take a little step back and actually realise that this blanket ban
mm-hmm.
is not... They do need to look on a case-by-case basis. Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
Because you also, I'm not just talking about doulas as the extra birthing partner. You know, there might be mothers who, you know, are going in with their daughters.
As you said, interpreters as
well. Well, there's lots of other people that...
Also, what about surrogates?
Yeah,
what about people who are surrogates?
Yeah.
The parents are waiting for their babies to be born. Are they not going to be allowed in?
It's like, and what happens in cesarean births now? Are you going to limit the number of people that are allowed in theatre? Like, you know, there's always a lot more people in there that needs to be there.
Like the medical reps and the students.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, it needs to be proportionate and looked at from exactly that. You need to basically weigh up what the policy is going to do, restricting all birthing partners.
Mm.
What's the effect going to be for the birthing person?
Yeah.
And compared to the risks of the coronavirus.
I mean, you know, One Health Trust, for example, you know, year on year, you know, there's usually some outbreak of one kind or another, be mm-hmm. it D of E or what else is there? There's been, what's the other outbreaks there's been?
Are you talking about the norovirus?
Norovirus. Yeah. You know, so, you know, and often these one birth partner policies come into play.
Yeah.
However, as soon as we contact the relevant people, exceptions are made for doulas.
Yeah, so exactly.
Should this be any different?
Yeah, no, exactly. I agree.
So the thing is, this is not universal. This is not going across the board because one of our local trusts is still having two birth partners. Yeah, exactly.
Lots of them still do. Absolutely. So it's not... Many trusts have had training by birthrights. Yeah. And understand that a blanket policy is not the way forward if you're going to be supporting women's choices. Other trusts are still going at the old paternalistic kind of, we just close the doors and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I was hoping is that things were changing, so actually you could have this open communication. But of course, I also think doulas need to speak to their clients. I know it's obviously very stressful for clients to have to, you know, argue why they need to have an extra birthing partner. But this is how we make change happen, by speaking up for ourselves, by saying, no, we're no longer happy to just go with whatever you're allowing and not allowing.
Well, like, this is the trouble. I think there are a lot of people that don't want, that a lot of doulas that don't want to upset the healthcare professionals.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But it's not, we're not there to argue.
We're not there to argue.
It's just saying, look, we are evidence-based.
Yeah, that's
We make a difference. Yeah. There's so much research out there. And it's not just doulas, any birthing partners. You know, when it's someone's mum, auntie, sister, whoever wants to, you know, come in and support. But especially doulas who've trained to do this job. They can also help the NHS Trust.
By
alleviating some of the pressure they got on now. I mean, the latest guidelines, which are suggesting, which I'm hoping they're clarifying today, that, you know, women should consider, pregnant women should consider, like, self isolating for 12 weeks.
Yeah, in the third trimester.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the last, that's, well, more than the last, well, it's the last trimester.
Yeah.
The last 3 months.
Mm.
It's just, I don't know, it just seems mad. You know, the fear amongst those women.
Yes, yeah.
The fear of having booked a doula because you're already fearful and now she can't come with you, or that your mum can't come with you.
Yeah.
You have to choose between your husband and your, you know,
your other birth,
your
support.
Other birth,
yeah,
support, or your boyfriend or girlfriend, whoever your partner is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it just seems smart.
It's sad times. It really is.
It is. But from a legal point of view, parents, women have this, you know, they are supported and backed by this Article 8.
Yeah,
exactly. It's called the Article 8 of the European Convention of Human Rights, and it protects every person's right to make choices about their private lives, and that's including the choices of birthing partners and the choices of where to have your baby. Because that's another thing, you know, potentially you could say, if you're with your doula at home, or you're a doula supporting your client at home, and you ring up the hospital to say, look, things are progressing, I want to come in, I'm bringing my doula and my partner. And they say, well, you can't bring your doula. Potentially, that woman or birthing person could say, well, I've decided to give birth at home then. This is the case in the UK.
Yeah.
Potentially, that woman can say, well, okay, if my doula can't come with me, I'm going to have a home birth. Can you send a midwife here?
Yeah.
There is no reason why anyone can't do that. However, it's obviously not going to be that kind of nice to have that conversation, because most midwives will probably try and convince you that you have to come to hospital and there's no midwives available to come to a home birth.
Yeah.
And this is potentially what could be happening for everyone that's booked home births.
Yes.
That they're told, oh no, we're cancelling all home births.
And again, it has started happening.
Yeah, but again, this is also against this Article 8.
Yeah.
So it's a really, women need to understand and birthing people need to know you have basic human rights when it comes to what you are entitled to or what is right, what should be done. And that, I think, is maybe something that can be at least used to open the channels of communications with those that can make these decisions at the different trusts.
Definitely.
All right, do you want to add anything?
No, I think you've definitely covered it all there. But yeah, I think as doulas, you know, we need to stop pussyfooting around.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it really does show up.
That I think that, yeah.
I'm not suggesting that everybody, you know, start a riot.
No.
You know.
No.
Or start marching through the streets to Parliament. I'm not suggesting that, but, you know, just start having some respect about your own,
yeah,
you know, what it is you do.
Value
yourself. Value what you're offering.
Yeah.
You know, your clients obviously value it. So why don't you?
Yeah.
You know, so start making some noise, people.
Yes, exactly that.
Open up some communications with your local trust.
Yes. I mean,
let's not sit back and wait for somebody else to do it.
The majority of midwives understand the value of continuity of support, and that is exactly what doulas do. And to be fair, on my Facebook page today, I saw Leslie Page, who's the president of the RCM, posting, yes, doulas are really important to the women that hire them.
God bless
Leslie. Yeah, exactly. So she's agreeing with us, and yeah, it's communication, it's the blanket ban. I think that's what it's all part of the bigger picture in childbirth. That's basically what it is.
Yeah, it's a knee-jerk reaction to this situation. Yeah. You know,
it's a serious situation.
It is a very serious situation.
No doubt
and
about it.
Infection control is a serious subject that does need to be taken seriously. However, it's not a black and white thing.
No, and each person, each case
should be dealt with on an individual basis.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, hopefully that's given you some food for thought.
So now it's time for
question time. And the question today comes from Laura. So let's have a listen.
Hi, Kiki and Siobhan. I hope you're both well. I have a question about the coronavirus. I have a few clients who have booked me as their birth doula and under the new government guidelines have decided that they're going to self-isolate. They don't want to drop me as a doula, but at the same time, they have spent quite a lot of money to hire me for birth support, which they're now not sure whether I'm going to be able to give. And I was just wondering whether you had any tips for ways that I could support my clients remotely, and also what you think's fair in terms of giving a refund or working things out financially without bankrupting me. Your thoughts would be much appreciated. Thank you.
Right, okay, so there's Laura's question.
And of course, it's about the current situation we're in, unprecedented areas of, for the whole of the world, really.
It is. It's a worldwide
pandemic.
Pandemic.
So Laura wants to know other ways. It's hard because it's really I can understand how worrying this must be for all the doulas. We're all self-employed.
Yeah.
We're all relying on having this income to live, pay our mortgages, buy food if we can get any on the shelves. That's another thing.
That's a whole other story, isn't it?
And yes, what do we do if we know beforehand that we cannot support our clients? So I've been looking at some of the ideas that doulas have been posting in the group.
So
today.
Ways to support. So, I mean, as you know, I've been supporting overnight.
Yeah, so tell me about that. What did you, how did that work? So someone's in labour.
Somebody went in to be induced in a London hospital.
Okay.
And obviously we found out at the weekend that that particular hospital was not allowing second birth partners in. So they went in and asked if they could have their doula with them and were categorically told no.
Mm-hmm.
So overnight, myself and my colleague, my shared care partner, we have both been supporting by phone. So we've been lots of WhatsApp messages.
Yeah.
It's all with the husband. Obviously, he's updating us what's happening.
Yeah.
What they've suggested, what are their options. Mm-hmm. We've been going back telling them what their options are, what they, you know, the kinds of things they might want to ask. Mm-hmm. And that's been going on all night.
Okay.
And I've got to say, it is hard.
Yes, I can imagine.
It's really hard because you can't get a feel for...
No, you're not there. You're not in the room. You're not picking up on all your...
You're not... Yeah, it's so, so difficult. And you know, he really appreciates the support. Mm. And obviously we're there as much as we possibly can be, but it is all remote support. What else could we do?
It's pretty crazy because often the women and couples and birthing people that hire doulas do so for many different reasons. You know, many understand the statistics around why you should have a doula, but also often they've had a traumatic experience or they have some kind of a trauma in their life. So they're trying to, they want a doula there to make them feel safe.
Yeah.
And at this point, that safety net is being pulled away
from under them.
So people can argue that doulas aren't essential, that we are not that important, that we are an extra. But actually, I think that's so unfair to say, because who decides that? Doulas are evidence-based. We make a difference.
Yeah.
Just a doula in itself provides oxytocin. We are like an oxytocin siren who helps our clients through labor just by being there.
Absolutely.
So to say that, who decides that we're not important, that we're just an extra? And that's not true either. Women who hire us are not all women that can afford it and we're some kind of accessory to show off, like, look, I've got a doula. We're actually genuinely there supporting a lot of women who are more vulnerable, who have disabilities, like might be blind women or deaf or other disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And they should just not be a blanket ban.
No, it's a knee-jerk reaction, isn't it?
Absolutely.
To an unprecedented situation.
Yeah.
And the first thing, of course, that's easy to do is kick out the poor relative, isn't it?
Exactly. Kick away the doula, which actually might be helping things in a system that's already overstretched. Okay, so people will then say, yeah, but we want to limit people moving around to stop the infection spreading. The thing is, doulas go to their clients' homes.
We've already been exposed to the client in the home.
Exactly. We've sat there with them for hours sometimes.
Yeah.
And then we all transfer in together. Doulas are not going to be leaving the room because of the risk of the virus. We will be staying in the room.
We are contained in one room supporting our clients who we've already been exposed to.
So we all have the same possibility of passing on the virus because we're all been together. So if I turned up at my client's house, you know, and they already have it or I have it, we all have to just be sensible about this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, doulas are grown adults who have their own families as well.
Yeah.
They are sensible people. They are not going to take the risk. If they feel they are symptomatic or somebody in their household is symptomatic, they're going to self-isolate.
Yes.
They're not going to put their clients at risk.
No, exactly.
And yes, you're right. You know, some people are saying, well, you don't know you've got it sometimes until it's too late. Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that the case for everybody?
Yeah, exactly. No, so actually that wasn't really what Laura was asking us about.
So Laura gone on a bit of a tangent, but yes, Laura was asking how we can remotely support.
Yes. So you did that by WhatsApp.
I did that, but also we have made arrangements by Zoom.
Okay, yes, Zoom is a really good software.
Zoom is you can do conference calls on Zoom, and there's also, but Zoom does limit you to 40 minutes on the free.
Mm-hmm.
You can pay $11.99 a month to use Zoom, and you have unlimited time on your call and unlimited participants.
Yeah.
But yes, if you have the free version, you're limited to 40 minutes and it literally does cut you off. Mm-hmm. It will give you one free go. It'll say we're extending it. But beyond that, any other additional calls will cut off after 40 minutes.
But don't you think Zoom is more to be used if you have a group of people? So say if I'm doing an antenatal class or any kind of, even as a doula course, I would use Zoom.
Yeah.
Would you not use a FaceTime or something?
Okay, as you know, I work in a collective, so there's more than one of us.
Okay.
So that's why we're using.
All right.
There's also another really good one called Jitsi.
Okay.
J-I-T-S-I .org. And that works exactly the same as Zoom. It's free. But it has no limit. It has limit on participants, and it has no limit on time either.
So is that what can as many? Oh, so you can have 100 participants in that too, like Zoom.
Yeah, you can have more than that. It's unlimited participants and unlimited time on your conference call. But yes, you're right. If it's a one to one
with your client,
it's one doula and one client. Then yes, you could just do FaceTime. Yeah, couldn't
FaceTime,
you?
Or you can use WhatsApp for that. WhatsApp. Messenger. There's all those apps you can use.
Yeah.
Because I think it might be helpful if you are supporting someone remotely, if you can see them.
Yes, definitely.
If you can see them, if you can be in the room, it's just going to be really quite odd, isn't it?
But if you're doing your antenatals with them, you know, you could hold up the path to birth and, you know, talk them through it.
Yeah.
Yes, it's good to be able to have that visual contact with them. But you're right. Sorry, I'm thinking more in my instance where I work in a group of doulas.
Yeah.
So there is a few of us and we're all going to be connecting from different places. So that's why we're using Zoom or Jitsi.
Yeah, we'll put links up in the Facebook group to both of these. And that's for those of you that not only doulas, but also running antenatal preparation or anything, yoga, you'll be able to use that software to connect with your clients.
Yeah.
So then moving, I mean, that is, you can't do that postnatal support, can you?
No, I mean, you could, you know, if you're doing some breastfeeding support, you could potentially look at how the position and attachment is. But, trying to then word how to make adjustments, it's going to be so hard.
It is.
We just have to keep looking at ways in which we can give as much support as possible.
And also speak to your clients. If they're happy for you to come every day and you're happy to go every day because you want to protect yourself as well, you're just going to be going to the same place. I think it's different if you are on public transport, of course, then again that changes things. But if you're literally getting in your car from your house, driving to your client's house, working there and going home, I can see it still could potentially be an issue, but
you know, you give that choice to your clients, don't you?
I don't think we actually are trying to stop everyone from getting this virus, because I think that's impossible. I think what we're trying to do, or the government's trying to do, is slow things down so we don't get a peak.
Yeah, well, they're trying to slow the curve, aren't they?
Yeah. Because I can totally see. I was listening to the announcement last night, and they were saying, you know, that the risk, you have the direct impact of the coronavirus, mm-hmm. where some people will unfortunately die from the coronavirus itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 85% of people will have very mild symptoms. Some will not even know they have it.
Yeah.
But then you have the second category is those people that are already ill.
Yes.
They already need that hospital support. They already need the ventilators.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we have an influx of corona, then patients, those patients might not get the treatment they need, and then they will die. But then the third category was people that will die based on the measures that are being put in place, i.e. people that get isolated, become yeah. lonely, don't yeah. see anyone, maybe don't get food, yeah. a chance to get food delivered. So it's really kind of, it's kind of whatever you do, there's going to be some
It shows crisis. Just how fragile the infrastructure yeah. is, how fragile everything is, yes. how reliant we are on everything just being there.
Exactly.
All the time. I mean, yeah. toilet paper. Who would have ever thought there yeah. would be, you know, queues at Costco to buy toilet
and
paper.
And fights in shops over it. In Australia.
It's insane.
It is insane. But also it shows us up as human beings what we're really like.
Oh, it's every man for themselves. Yeah,
and actually, that has always been like that. It's not that we're more selfish nowadays, like, oh, we're so selfish. It's actually always been that way. Whenever there's been a war, whatever, you know.
It's a fight or flight,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's a survival. And that is actually, it's shocking, but it's happening. And you can feel it. I went shopping today, and I see all the empty shelves. I mean, I couldn't even get baking paper.
It's ridiculous.
There's not a tissue inside.
No.
There's nothing you can wipe or sneeze or blow your nose into.
I was wondering what you were going to say then.
There's nothing. There's no. nothing in there. No. There's no antibacterial stuff.
Oh, my God,
there's no pasta. There's no coffee. There's no tea. There's no coffee made. There's so many things that are just like people are panicking. And you can feel it yourself. Oh, I can't get any pasta.
Well, it's contagious. Yeah, it's like the coronavirus, yeah. isn't it? One person starts to panic, another person thinks that's stupid. Yeah. But actually, should I be buying more toilet paper?
When actually, I don't need more.
It's a snowball effect, isn't
it's
it?
It's really square. But moving on to Laura's second part of her question.
Sorry, Laura.
Is about the refunds. And yet,
right, yes.
Because, I feel this as a doula course provider.
Mm.
I am really feeling scared for the future,
yeah.
but I'm gonna deal with that later. Let's just talk about the doulas here, because I can totally feel your panic. This is your livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
So now what happens when we have something like this? It's like, what are the rules right now? It's because I don't think you should need to give refunds, but at the yeah. same time you can see why people will expect to get refunds.
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult because it's not the doula's fault. It's beyond her control.
Anyone's control.
It's also not the client's fault.
No.
It's a very difficult situation. However, I guess, you know, you need to relook at your contract.
Yeah.
And see what your contract is saying. Mm. I mean, my contract says, you know, circumstances beyond
My control.
Mm. So I kind of feel I'm covered.
Yeah.
I actually did have somebody book last week mm-hmm. that signed the contract, hasn't made the payment just yet,
mm-hmm.
But then over the weekend was told by her NCT class that it's down to one doula. One birth partner. So she's chosen to cancel.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Well, you know, no money had exchanged. She'd literally booked, and then I think about 3 days,
yeah.
4 days later, unbooked, which is within the cooling off period.
Yeah. I don't think it's helpful, though, for anyone saying like a blanket thing.
No, that I know, it's not.
Because there are actually lots of hospitals in the UK are still
allowing two birth partners.
I hate using that word, allowing,
mm.
but are still accepting two birth partners.
Well, the thing is, it is a horrible word saying allowing, but actually it's their property.
Yeah.
We, You know, it's their jurisdiction. Yeah. So if they say you can't come in, there's absolutely nothing you can do about it.
Actually, we should talk about that in another segment on the show.
Yeah.
But because, the refunds.
The refunds. So, I mean, this is it. You need to look at your contracts to see.
So, for example, you're supporting someone remotely now.
Yes.
They're not expecting a refund, are they?
There's been no.
No, because they're still getting your support, even though you're not hands-on.
Yes, no, we have been supporting all night. Yeah.
And that's really helpful. There's still someone they can phone that they can give outside. So I still think doula support
support. Yeah. We were going to offer some additional postnatal support because obviously we weren't able to, As a goodwill gesture rather than a this is what we have to do. Yeah. More of a goodwill gesture. We were going to offer an additional postnatal visit, but it looks like that won't even happen now.
No.
We have been supporting remotely.
So that's another thing you could do. Instead of offering money to be refunded, maybe you can arrange something like that, like exchanging something. But to be honest, I would... Don't back down. I see this so often. Doula's like, oh yeah, here's your money back. Think about this. This is your business.
Yeah.
You're running a business. You have to put this to them as in, I will still be able to support you, but it will be remote support. I know that's not what the original intention was, but due to circumstances outside of everyone's control, this is the way I will be supporting you now. But also, speak to your clients beforehand about this so they can talk to their maternity units before this.
Yeah.
If you are working with a client with very complex needs, so they have a phobia for birth, they have had a very they're traumatized from their last experience, they booked you because they need you more than all the other women. I know everyone needs us, but it's a specific case for this. They should be able to have some kind of individualized care plan.
I do think, though, the maternity services should realise that if women are booking doulas, they're booking them for a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not because it's the latest
trend. No, this is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. It's not extra.
So, if somebody has paid... privately to pay for a doula, then surely the maternity service should be looking at that, saying, well, actually, this woman clearly has some additional needs if she feels she needs the support of a doula.
Exactly.
Shouldn't that be all it needs to be?
But also, I'm sure there will be cases like interpreters. I'm hoping. Are they going to be remotely? Are they going to, what about the women that have no one? You know, the groups like the maternity mates and... or neighbourhood doulas, all these organisations we have here in the UK, birth companions.
Well, they might be the only ones. Birth partner,
but not always. It might not always be the case. You know, say if you were doing a job together.
Well, also, I think as well, are they not? Do they not swap out?
Exactly. They won't be able to.
They won't be able
happening?
To do that. Yeah. No, they won't be able to do that at all.
So it's always, as per always, it's the most vulnerable that are going to get the worst end or the worst results from this whole thing. So, going back to, I don't think you should be refunding any money. Try and work something else out to kind of stand your ground.
But also, I think, look at where you are in the booking. So, for example, this week, we've had a couple of new bookings come in.
Yeah.
If they don't already know, we're bringing it to their attention. Yes. Because what's the point of going halfway through this booking and then saying,
then they cancel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's what we've been doing this week with the new bookings that have been coming in. We've been explaining the situation, telling them we don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. We are trying to communicate.
Yeah, with the different NHS trusts.
With the different NHS trusts. And, we will keep them updated. However, we will still support you antenatally.
Yeah.
We can support you postnatally. And if it comes to it, we will remotely support you.
Yeah.
And we will support you face-to-face in early labour in your house.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, luckily for us, our next client is a home birth.
Okay, perfect.
Please God they don't cancel the home birth.
Well, they're going to struggle doing that, aren't they?
So we're kind of thinking, well, we're okay with that one because it's in her house and she wants us there. So who can tell her no?
Exactly.
But we've had a couple of bookings come in this week and we've had to explain to them, this is the situation.
Mm-hmm.
how would you like to proceed? We've had, you know, one come back already and say, well, yeah, that's fine. If it comes to it, we'll just convert that then for some, maybe some postnatal support. But they're in a few months' time. Yeah. So things could change. So I think just look at where you are. Obviously, right now, who have you got booked? Who is ready to go into labour now? What can you do to support those clients? And then look at what future bookings you've got and just have conversations, open up the conversations. Yeah. Communication in times like this, when everybody is scared, communication is the key.
Yeah.
When people stop communicating, that's when you start getting panic.
Yeah, exactly. And we need to keep the lines open for doulas to be able to communicate.
Doulas should be able to communicate with each other.
Yeah, and there needs to be all the Facebook groups, all the available platforms for doulas to be able to come and offload and say how scared they are. Because we all, you know, and not there shouldn't be like things post closed down or things happening where we can't chat because it's inconvenient for someone. So
I can say
I mean, I know you're not all birthplace doulas listening, but we have our private group and it's open for all the birthplace doulas to come and talk about whatever they need support with.
Absolutely.
And we will have some healthy discussions on there because we're all going to have different opinions, but we need to all respect and support each other right now, but also try and look at this from everyone's point of view.
Exactly. Shutting down conversations helps nobody. You know, and also, you know, the reps for areas, they need to be coming forward now.
Absolutely.
You know, now is the time to, you know, start actioning what you signed up to do, what your role is.
Exactly.
Your role is...
Volunteer or not, you need to do...
Whether you're a volunteer or not.
You're volunteered to do.
Exactly.
And this is the time when that needs to happen.
Completely, yeah. So, you know, you've got a template letter there. All you've got to do is press send.
Yeah.
How hard is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to, I think we've answered the questions quite well, hopefully, and given you some ideas on software and stuff to use.
Yeah, so that's software,
support.
We can post links to those in
we'll
the group.
Do that.
So you can, you can have a look at those.
And I think we'll leave it there. Oh, Siobhan, I feel exhausted.
I know, I'm drained, but it's a very important subject that clearly needs addressing.
Yeah, and I know our podcast today is going to be slightly different from our normal schedule, but it needed
to be said.
It did, yes.
But yes, I mean, obviously we record on Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
this goes out on Thursday.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows where we're going to be in 48 hours.
Absolutely.
Time. So,
let alone in a few hours' time.
Let alone in a few hours. So everything we say may be completely invalid.
Yeah.
Or it may have been resolved. God, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah, let's think that way.
Let's try and think positive.
But, I mean, we see now backtracking already from the government's announcement last night.
Well,
about
the latest news there.
The latest news is that women should still keep going to their antenatal appointments. And like someone was saying, this woman who was on the BBC website, a mum at home who's pregnant, got a husband who works as a GP, has a child she has to take to school every day whilst being pregnant. It's like, if anyone can sit and decide these kind of things, it will be a bunch of men who don't do the things that women do every day.
Yeah, because how can she self-isolate while dropping her children at school?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And how can... So should her husband not go to work? He's a GP. It's just...
The thing is, it's unprecedented, isn't it? We've never had this happen ever.
This is going to be like going down in the history apps rather than books.
Yeah. But so it is a case of everybody's learning on the job.
Yeah.
Nobody has a contingency plan for this.
No, and huge respect to all of the staff in the NHS. Do totally get that they're under a lot of pressure right now.
Massive amount of pressure at the NHS. And we salute one of you.
Absolutely. But as per normal, we also feel that maternity service is something that stands on its own. In a way, outside the whole illness industry of hospitals.
Well, yes, because birth is...
Exactly, it's not an illness.
It's not pathological.
No.
It's physiological.
Exactly. And women still need our support.
Yeah.
And as there's so much fear already in the whole system, this is only going to make it even more
Completely.
Fearful and painful and and distressing to so many pregnant women out there. And that's why we're speaking up. It's for the women that should still, and the birthing people should still have the support if they need it from other birth partners apart from their own partners.
And I know, you know, there are many doulas out there who are offering their services to their local maternity unit.
Yes. And that is, we're doing that for the women. That's what we do this for, or the birthing people. Okay, I think,
I was going to say, what are you doing next week?
Yeah, what are you doing next
week?
Well,
I'm not doing very much next week.
No, exactly.
We can't, can we? I mean, for all we know, we may all be in isolation by next week.
Yeah.
It may become law? I don't know. Would you call it a law?
Well, they are drafting measures here in the UK. And I know in the rest of Europe, and I don't know, in America, we know they've banned all flights incoming.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know what the doula's crisis is like there. We would love to hear from you from all over the world who are listening to the podcast.
I know.
And I'd like to thank you as well. We've had some lovely messages from lots of you. And we appreciate you getting in touch, and we really are grateful that you're listening to us blabbering on.
But who knows where we're going to be next week, whether we're even going to be able to do this podcast.
Yeah, maybe.
I may not be able to get here.
Yeah, and I'm not doing a telephone podcast. The sound quality
sound
is so
crap.
Bad.
Yeah,
I need you in the studio
with me. Yeah, so it's whether we can even do that. But it's difficult. I mean, God, wouldn't it be great if we all had balconies like the Italians?
Yes.
We could all get on our balconies and start singing. I mean, talk about embrace a situation and look for the positives.
Yeah. But I guess we'll just be back, hopefully.
Well, hopefully we'll be back next week,
so,
please God.
And are you going to have a few Guinness tonight?
It's St. Patrick's Day. Well, there's nowhere to go because I was going to go to the Clatter Ring, which last night announced it's closed its doors. So first time ever. You know, it's... There's not really anywhere to go.
But you could always use Zoom software or the other one you mentioned.
Yes.
Whatever it was called.
Yes.
Have a little Zoom.
Link up and have a little Paddy's Day drink. Or maybe we could do that in the Birth Bliss group.
Yes.
Why don't we have a little...
Why don't we do
everyone
that?
Everyone get together.
And drink some
and
Guinness.
And just say, sláinte.
Yes. I love that. Well, I guess there's nothing more to say that hopefully we will see you next Thursday.
Maybe.
Listeners should always do their own due diligence on any information received from these discussions to form their own opinions and best judgments. In preparing this podcast, we have endeavoured to offer current, correct and clearly expressed information aimed at our audience. However, we make no claims that the information will be accurate, complete or current at all times, and we accept no liability for any reliance placed by any person on this information. We make no representations or warranties of any kind about the suitability, reliability, timeliness and accuracy of the information contained herein. Do 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 do